We left off with verse 18 last night. Listen to me. Last week, which feeds into verse number 19. Recall we said that the apostle weeps because he understands the other side, or in other words, he understands what life outside of Christ is. Why? Why does he understand it? He's been there. Absolutely. He's been there, right? He used to be one of them. What did he say at one time? He was the chief. There you go. He was the chief among sinners. So he knew what's going on. He knew how these people are living in spiritual darkness. And now that he has and knows the light and the truth, he knows how wrong and in spiritual darkness they are. They are still sinners. I don't care how many robes you wear. I don't care how many, y'all out here, y'all love it when I like to say this. I don't care how many alphabets you got behind your name. If you ain't got Christ, you ain't got nothing. That's what it's all about. That's the bottom line. And you're still living in darkness. They are still enemies of the cross of Christ. And unless they turn from the spiritual darkness to the light and cross of Christ, just like everybody living in the world today, if you don't know Christ, you face imminent judgment. And that ain't me saying it. That is the word of God. That ain't me. I'm just repeating it. Verse number 19, chapter 3. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. In verse 19, Paul says that these enemies of the cross of Christ are headed for destruction. 2 Peter 2:1. But there was also false prophets among the people, even as here will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. What's a heresy, Bible students? What is a heresy, Bible students? Go ahead. I heard it. Absolutely. And what was you going to say, Miss Debbie? False teaching. Absolutely. Something is against God's words or false teaching or any deviation from the truth. That is a heresy. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Even denying the Lord who brought them and bring on themselves swift destruction, should I say, Peter. In other words, they are going to perish, face the wrath of God to be eternally separated from him. That's what that means. So when you hear it said that they would die the second death, that just means that they will be eternally separated from the Lord for all of eternity. Can y'all imagine that? I mean, think about that. We imagine eternity on the other side with the Lord with bliss and tea and crumpets and we tiptoeing through the tulips and, you know, we doing all these fine things, right? But then you think about the other side. Imagine what it would be like for all of eternity, he's separated from the Lord. Well, he won't even remember you. We won't even remember them. Why? Because the scripture tells us in Revelation that he will wipe away all tears and we won't remember a thing. So think about it. All your friends and your loved ones that you may have been praying for and Lord hopes they come to the Lord, but if they don't, and you've been praying for them for the longest, or you know someone who hasn't been saved or don't know the Lord, or have put their faith in something else other than Christ to die separated from him, well, guess what? You will not remember them. But they will remember you. Yes. Read Luke chapter 16. You will retain all consciousness. You will remember. You will remember. And they're going to remember all those times when they sat there and listened to the pastor or maybe have somebody who had this witness to them, oh, get out of my face. Because they rejected the gospel and they're going to remember all of those times that they rejected. And you know what they're going to say? I wish I would have listened. I had the opportunity, but I missed it. I missed it. Paul continues to say that these enemies of the cross of Christ have as their God, their belly. Look at the verse again. Can you throw up chapter 19, chapter 3, please? Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. In other words, instead of their attention, get to somebody, instead of their attention, goal, and purpose is to outwardly satisfy and please God, instead of that, their attention and goal and focus is to inwardly satisfy and please themselves. That's what it is. In other words, they like to talk to hear themselves talk. Y'all know people like that? They just jaw-jack just to hear themselves talk. Or flapping their gums or whatever you want to call it. Just to hear themselves talk. The apostle also says that these enemies of the cross of Christ, whose glory is in their shame, look at it, who set their mind on earthly things. The Greek translation for shame here is meaning disgrace or dishonesty. Well, here you would think that their dishonesty and their disgrace would lead to their guilt. Oh, no, it don't. It don't. But rather their glory and their honor is in their dishonesty. They glory in being dishonest. Oh, I deceived them today. I got them. But we don't think people are like that, do we? Do we think people like that? Do we? Honestly, do we think people are like that? That purposely want to go out and deceive you and enjoy deceiving? Do we think people like that? Because we want to think the good in everybody, right? Their heart is deceitfully wicked. But we want to think good about everybody, right? Let's don't be deceived, y'all. There are people out there, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, tell us to test the spirits. To see if they are from God or not. Yes. And just like the Bereans in chapter 16 of Acts, what did they do? They searched the scriptures, did they not, Miss Debbie? Yes. They searched the scriptures to see if what they were saying was true. Yes. So if I come up to y'all and if I say something, I better hear some pages flipping. Ooh, Pastor, let me check that. Search the scriptures to see if what we're saying is true. Amen. We have to do that. There ain't nothing wrong. Ain't no shame. You ain't hurting my feelings because if I say something, you checking the scriptures. Because sometimes y'all know it. I've misquoted a verse. And Brother Jesse got his iPad. Wait a minute, Pastor. Wait a minute. But I want y'all to do that. Keep me honest. Can I get a witness, somebody? Amen. Keep them honest. Well, they are actually talking about these people here. Are only after earthly and worldly things rather than spiritual things. Again, don't y'all know there is nothing new under the sun in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 through 10? Ain't nothing new under the sun. Solomon the preacher, the wisest man on the planet, back then said that all this stuff was going on. But guess what? He even said wasn't nothing new under the sun. But guess what's happening today? Same old stuff, ain't it? Ain't the same old stuff. What they say about history? If you don't learn from it, it's doomed to repeat it. Same thing. Same thing that's going on. Meaning as these things were happening during Paul's day, they're still happening today. Yep. However, as there are many that have been deceivers and antichrists during Paul's day, guess what? If you shift the pendulum the other way, there were still believers in Paul's day.
That's right.
So even though there may have been deceivers out there, guess what? There were believers as well.
Yes.
And even though there may be deceivers in our day today, guess what? There are still believers in this world today. So even though there may not be nothing new under the sun about people being deceitful, you can say the same thing about people who love the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
Still the same. Verses 20 through 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the God's people said to that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Who would transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. How many of y'all think the world is out of control today? Does it seem like it? Oh, come on, y'all. Does it seem like the world is out of control? All this is going on. People killing cops. People killing each other. People murdering kids. They doing all kind of stuff out here. Seems like it's out of control, don't it? But don't y'all know it's all falling to God's plan? Everything is going towards God's plan. God's got a plan for all of this. It may seem like it's all out of control and hectic right now, but you know what? It's all just falling into God's plan. That's all. And he is going to subdue everything under his feet. Don't it seem like, God, how? Sometimes I find myself, and maybe I shouldn't say it, but sometimes I find myself and I'm like, Lord, how in the world are you going to fix all of this stuff that's going on? I mean, think about it. Look at everything that's going on. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. You're absolutely right. As I'm often reminded, there ain't nothing too hard for the Lord. It may seem like your life may be out of control. Okay, I got that. But Pastor, you don't understand. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I probably don't, but the Lord does.
Yes.
Yep. So even though you may think it's out of control, guess no, it ain't. Because ain't nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing. Like I said last week, all you got to do is just surrender to him. You got to give it to him. That's what you got to do. Yet the apostle here in verse 20 draws the distinct contrast where those enemies of the cross of Christ have their mindset on earthly things. Our citizenship for the true believer and followers of Christ, we have our citizenship where?
Heaven.
We have our citizenship in heaven.
Yes.
We have our mindset and our destination set on things that are eternal or spiritual. I always like to tell people, you know what, man, this is your world. I'm just passing through. And it's the same thing. This ain't our world. We just passing through.
That's right.
That's it. Or sometimes I say, man, this is your world. I'm just in it. We just in it. We just passing through. That's all we doing. We are a traveler on a journey.
Yes.
And we are passing through all of this to where our destination, you can park your Winnebago on the other side of eternity with the Lord in heaven. Yes. Can I get a witness, somebody?
Yes.
That's where we are headed. So we have to maintain our eternal perspective. Regardless of what goes on in your life, you got to maintain your eternal perspective. Don't look in your circumstance. Look through your circumstance to the other side or who you know who awaits you on the other side, which is our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So just don't focus on the end or what's going on with you right now. Man, I'm in a pickle right now. We just don't look in the pickle, look through the pickle.
That's right.
And that's what we got to do. We got to look through to see who's on the other side.
That's right.
Not only is Christ on the other side, but Christ is still in it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But our destination and our hope and future glory is on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we got to look through it and to keep on going through. Oh, somebody, I wish I had somebody with me tonight. In verse 21, as we continue to look at our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we maintain our spiritual perspective, he will one day change our lowly bodies to conform to his glorious body.
Yes, amen.
Now, check this. Lowly is not to imply anything negative. So don't think anything negative when you hear that. But rather, the apostle is referring to that time when this body of incorruption that will eventually perish when we die, will be transformed into our glorified body when we are resurrected from the dead. Check this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to skip through a little bit, so I'll let y'all know where I'm at. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse number 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? Jump down to verse number 42 through 44. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. 44, it is sown in natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Go down to verse number 51 through 54. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Oh, come on, somebody. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Did y'all see that? In the twinkling of an eye. Everybody give me a blink. There you go, right there. Just that fast, right there. Right there, that fast. Like 100 million thousandths of a second, something like that. Just like that, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And the dead will be raised incorruptible and will be changed, shall be changed. For 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must be put on immortality. So when we change in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to put on immortality. Yes. Where we would never die. Yes. Never. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Yes. It's swallowed up. Yep. No more death. 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 through 18, if that ain't enough for you. Check this out. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So in other words, these means that those who have died in believing in Jesus Christ. That's what they're saying. So when you hear sleep in the Bible, what you're referring to is just those that are just dead just for a season until they are raised by the Lord. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. So if we are alive at the time of the rapture, those who have died in Christ will be there first. And then guess what? We will be just like that. We will be next. 16, for the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. You know what I believe we're going to hear? We're going to hear the trumpet. And I think Christ is going to say three words. Just three words. Well done, servant.
Well done, servant.
Well done, servant. Okay, we may hear that. But I think we're going to hear something before that. I think we're going to hear, come up hither. Come up hither. Why do I say that? Because the old King James Version in Revelation says to John, come up hither. I like the old King James Version. Come up hither. That's what I believe we're going to hear. At least that's what I want to believe anyway. But whatever you think we're going to hear, we're going to hear Christ say, come on up. Lazarus, come forth. He may say that too, come forth. He probably say that to the dead, come forth. But then to us, he's going to say, come up hither.
There you go.
But whatever it is, we're going to be with the Lord. Can I get a witness, somebody? That's what we're going to hear. We're going to be with him. Oh, don't be ashamed to give it up for the Lord. Oh, give him praise up in the house. Hallelujah. Praise him. Bless him. You got to bless the Lord. 17, then we who are alive, here we go, y'all, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, and thus we shall forever be with the Lord. Oh, come on, y'all. Somebody give me an amen up on that. Man, can't y'all wait? That's why you always hear me say, when I went to war two times, we don't get ready for war. We be ready for war. So that when they say, hey, your number's called, guess what? It's time to go. It's going to be the same thing when the Lord calls us home. We don't get ready to be saved and be called up. We are ready. Not only are we saved, but we are ready to hear the trumpet from the Lord to say, come up hither.
Yes. Yes.
That's what we're ready for.
Amen.
You got to be ready
right.
to hear that trumpet. Regardless of what's going on, you still be ready to hear the trumpet of the Lord and to hear him say, come up hither.
Yes.
And then, well done.
Good
and faithful servant. Then what did he say? Enter into the joy of the Lord. Man, I wish somebody was excited up in here with me tonight. Verse number 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We should comfort one another. Brother and sister, I know you're going through a little something, something. Brother Jim, I know you may be going through a time and a season right now, but take comfort, my friend, because we will one day forever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Because we will be with the Lord one day. And the apostle continues that as Christ is and one day will bring all things under his control, that same power that is working in Christ that raised him from the dead will also transform your glorified body. How do we know? 1 Corinthians 15:28. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be in all.
Yes.
One day, make no mistake about it, Christ is going to return.
Yes. Right.
He's coming back one day.
Amen.
He is. He's coming back. Amen. And y'all heard me say it. I wish I could see the ones who don't believe, who have rejected him, who say he don't exist. And then when he come through the clouds, and they're going to be like this. I wish I could see it. Because I want to see how wrong you were about my Lord. You were wrong. He is alive and he exists.
Yes.
And there he is. Now talk about him. There he is. Those who reject him and his image of the cross will be defeated. The last enemy to be defeated is what?
Death.
Say it. Death. Absolutely. In 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy to be defeated is death. And the only ones left standing with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will be those true believers.
Yes.
In their glorified bodies.
Amen.
Forever and ever and ever. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved, long for, brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Beloved, the apostle starts off here by saying that what he just said in 17 through 21, chapter 3, calling the Philippian believers my beloved, and his long for, brethren, and his joy and crown. Apparently, the apostle really has a place in his heart for the Philippian believers. He tells them to stand fast in the Lord. Why? Again, referencing chapter 3, verses 17 through 21, that they are to guard themselves from fleshly living and fleshly desires and maintain their Christian integrity as they maintain and pursue those things that are spiritual.
Yes.
And we too are to stand firm by putting on the armor of God in first and of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. We are to put on the whole armor of God, continually to be renewed in our minds in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Understand the need and help of the Holy Spirit in our daily sanctification. Verse 2. For you who know. I'm sorry. Verse 2. I am so sorry. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. How'd I do on that? Did I do okay?
Yeah.
I do okay? All right. The apostle here specifically mentions Euodias and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. The very same thing he just wrote about in chapter 13, verse 16. The apostle here does not appear to be addressing a doctrinal problem. There isn't nothing doctrinal that's going on, but he's talking about a relationship. Apparently, these two women must have not been in agreement or on the same page about something. There was something going on with these two women. Or they may have been in some type of personality conflict. But it is at a level of concern in order for the apostle to mention it. For do you not know that personal differences and personality conflicts or disagreements, if not resolved or contained and controlled, can cripple our growth in Christ?
Yes.
Yes.
And it can cripple a church as well.
Yeah.
Even though there may be personal differences, and we have them, if at all possible, we should try to resolve them. And that just don't go for us in the church. That should go for our relationships with our friends, our spouses,
yes,
family members. We should try to resolve them. We should. Excuse me. But even though, like I said, there may be personal differences, we got to resolve them. Romans 12, 18. If at all possible, as much as depend on you, live peaceably with all men. Hebrews 12, 14, pursue peace with all people in holiness. Without no one will see the Lord. For Jesus even spoke on peacemakers in his beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. For personal differences should not prevent us from standing on common ground. It shouldn't. And thinking and having the same mindset, which is spreading and living out the true gospel of Jesus Christ. That should be our oneness right there in Christ. And as we are all human, sometimes personal differences are not able to be worked out. I mean, think about it. We just can't work it out. What do we like to say? We just have to agree to disagree. I mean, that's the reality. And if so, then maybe the best solution is to maintain harmony and unity is to take the high road to separate. We're putting the needs and the harmony of the body of Christ above our personal differences. Sometimes you just got to separate. Yo, dog, we just can't get along, man. I got the jet, man. That's it. I just can't get along. Because if somebody is negatively influencing you, sometimes don't you know you got to flee? You got to run away from it. Don't sit and try to fight it sometimes. Oh, but the Lord, I got to be persistent. And then you're hitting your head against the wall. Lord saying, man, why you keep doing that? Why don't you stop? But man, I got to get this right. Sometimes the Lord just may be telling you, look, just leave it alone. And let me work it out. You just need to separate. Don't let it negatively influence and impact you. Because if you continue to fight against the goals, well, guess what? You're just going to get more internally conflict on the inside, and it's just going to destroy your witness. So that's how come maybe sometimes the Lord is telling you, you need to just separate from the situation. Leave it alone. Surrender. There's that surrender again. Surrender it to me and let me work it out. Yeah. Oh, talk to me up in here, somebody. Yeah. I know this is Bible study, but don't get me going up in here. Y'all know when the Spirit's got to go, I got to go with it.
That's right.
Because I'm going to drop it like it's hot, Miss Debbie. But sometimes you just got to let it go. Give it to the Lord. And surrender. There's that surrender again. Man, the Lord is telling somebody, you need to surrender. I don't know who you are. Because the Lord has definitely kept it hidden from me. But you got to surrender. Whoever you are. Because it keeps popping up. Hold me up, Holy Ghost. Hold me up. But somebody got to surrender up in here. As the apostle said earlier, be of the same mind. The apostle also says, whose names are in the book of life, as he talks about from verse 3. Yes. Several weeks ago, we talked about the book of life. Put verse 3 on the screen, please. What was written since the foundation of the world in Revelation 13:8. The record or the book of life contained the names of those. Who's in the book of life, y'all? Your name. Oh, I like that. My name. All believers. Their name's in the book of life. Those who are destined to live for eternity because of God's grace and their faithfulness to participate in God's kingdom. Where those whose names are written in the book of life have first. What's the first criteria for getting into the book of life? Say it. Accepting Christ. Absolutely. Accepting Christ. And recall that God in the Old Testament and Christ in the New Testament both can determine whether the names that are recorded in the book of life remain or if those names are blotted out or removed. Pastor, are you sure about that? Okay, you Berean believers, here you go. Exodus chapter 32. Verses 32 through 33. Psalms 69, 27 through 28. Revelation 3:5. I'll say it again. Exodus 32, 32 through 33. Psalms 69, 27 through 28. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Verse number 4 of Philippians chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 4. And I urge you also, I'm just messed up tonight. Forgive me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Yes. The apostle then transitioned from the above verses to now discuss that peace with the Lord. The verse here, the apostle tells the Philippians to rejoice, but not just rejoice, but what? Not just rejoice, but what? Look at it. Not just rejoice, but what? I heard it. I heard somebody say it. Always. Always. He says, always rejoice. That's what he says. You would think that once is enough, right? It's absolutely. But he's saying it twice, giving it added meaning and seriousness. It is interesting for a person who is under house arrest or in prison to tell somebody to rejoice. The Greek translation for rejoice here is meaning to be glad, to be cheerful. That's what it means. Where here, the apostle's attitude is teaching the Philippian believers and all of us that our inner attitude does not have to reflect our outward circumstance. Get that. Our inner attitude does not have to reflect our outward circumstance. It doesn't. But rather, the apostle exhorts them to rejoice. Be glad, be cheerful. Why? Because of the relationship they have with Christ. So we should be rejoice and be glad and be cheerful because of the relationship we have with Christ. That's why we are rejoicing. Man, I'm going through a Category 5 hurricane. Yay! Yep. Rejoice and be glad in it, right? Man, I just lost my job today. Yay! And again, I say rejoice. I just filed for Chapter 13 bankruptcy. Yay!
And again, I say rejoice.
But what he's saying is, regardless of all that's going on, you can rejoice in your life because you know Christ is your Savior.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. And don't miss that. And the peace that comes with him, Psalms 5, 11 through 12. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in him. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those who also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. And I think I am safe to say that in this present world, having God's safety and heavenly protection and favor is a blessing that I am truly thankful for. Can I get a witness, somebody?
Amen.
Verse 5, last verse for tonight. I want to get y'all home. Let your gladness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation is used in place of gentleness. Look at it, y'all, in verse 5 there in the Old King James Version, where the Greek translation for moderation is meaning gentle or patient. Well, here the apostle is saying that in their everyday lives, the Philippian believers are to be gentle, patient, or maintain their self-control in all seasons of life. In other words, their character and their conduct inwardly should show outwardly that displays the characteristics of Christ and the fruits of the Spirit as we live our lives and interact with people. So if we face a situation or someone coming up you and they throwing all of this hellfire and brimstone in your face, do you maintain or do you react? Smile back at them. Oh, somebody made, well, back in the day, I know I would have went Jason Bourne on them and boom, did. But smile in their face and watch the madder they get. Why? Because they are trying to get a reaction out of you. Ain't nobody but the demon behind that. The enemy will go get him. And try to influence that person to get you to react and to destroy your testimony. And then guess what? When you react in the way that the enemy wants you to, what does he now do in Revelation and accuse the other brethren? Look, Lord, there they go. Look at him. Look at him right there. He's an accuser of the brethren. Look at him. They call themselves a Christian. And then what do you do? Yeah, man, I just messed that one up, man. And then you're carrying around all this guilt because you reacted in a way that's contrary to the word of God. And you're beating and you're condemning yourself because you did that you know you shouldn't have did. Okay, you did. Lord, forgive me. Help your servant to learn from this experience. And then so that now the next time when it comes again, because I know you're going to take me around Sinai again. But Lord, help your servant to be ready.
Yeah.
Because you know if you mess up the first time, guess what? Oh, he got to teach you the lesson, so he's going to take you around Sinai again. Oh, absolutely. And some of us are more hard-headed than others. And all the women of God said, amen, talking about the men. But some of us have to go around the mountain a couple of times in order to get the lesson. But it's true. But once you get the lesson, then you're on in the promised land. Amen. Yes. But you got to stay on guard. Why? Because the enemy is ready to pounce on you again. Mm-hmm. Don't you know he will attack you the most right after you have been glorified or the Lord has taken you through something? He's blessed you or whatever you've gone through. You'd be like, yeah, man. The theme Rocky is playing in your mind and you just got through. You triumphed through something and the enemy is right there ready to try to jack you up again. It's true. That's why you always got to stay on guard. Always stay on guard, Christian. Because this enemy, this race is not over until we're on the other side. Contend to the very end. I like that. So if you know that, so if you know the Lord is taking you through a season to where he's working on your patience and surrender, just ask him, Lord, help your servant. Please teach him on what it is you need for him to learn through this. Yes. Give it to him. But be careful of what you ask because he will teach you. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, can I get a witness, somebody? Amen. He going to take you through it. Yes. You ask for it. Okay, I'm going to give it to you. But be ready to receive it. Amen. Because he has nothing but good things for you. Amen. Ain't that what he says in Jeremiah 29:11?
Yes.
The thoughts that I think of you. To give you a hope, a future, and an expected end.
Yes,
Jeremiah 29:11. That's what he has for you. Yes. A future and a hope.
Yes.
And our hope is in our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness, somebody?
Amen.
Stay encouraged, y'all. I'm so excited. Man, I'm so excited. Stay encouraged. I don't know about y'all, but Christianity is a wonderful thing.
Amen.
I love my relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
This is great, ain't it? Ain't this good stuff?
Yes.
Man, this is good stuff. Man, I can go on for another, man. I feel like I'm back at home in October, man. On Revival on a Wednesday night. I keep y'all for another 2 hours.
Yeah.
If I got to get y'all home, shall we stand? Stay encouraged, Christian. Please stay encouraged. No matter what it is, stay encouraged. Yeah, we may get down and bogged down for a minute or two, but that's okay. We all have done it. Remember, Moses wanted to die. Moses said, take me, Lord. I can't do this no more. Jonah wanted to die. Lord, just take my life. Elijah wanted to die. So don't feel bad because you go through something. Stay encouraged. And take it as a badge of honor because you are doing the same thing with Christ's suffering. It's a badge of honor. Stay encouraged because one day, you always hear me like to say it, it will be worth it.
Amen.
It will be worth it.
Yes.
It will be worth it. Stay encouraged, Christian. Stay encouraged. Man, I'm so excited. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Oh, Lord, you're working. I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, you're so wonderful. Father, I know you're speaking to that person, Lord, who needs to surrender. Father, help that person to surrender. If they're having a difficult time with it, Lord, Father, what by any means necessary, Lord, give them a direct hit, but just let them know that they need to surrender.
Yes. Yes.
If you need to take them around Sinai another 10 times, Lord, we'll take them around it so they can get the lesson.
Jesus.
But, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that whatever it is you're taking us through, help us to be receptive,
yes,
to receive what it is you're trying to do in our lives. So that at the end, when we're done and we're tried by fire, Father, we will shine as pure gold.
Yes.
And that we can just sing your praises. As the psalmist says in Psalms 100, that, Lord, we will enter your courts with thanksgiving into your house with praise.
Yes.
So, Father, may you always be glorified. May we always live in obedience and faithfulness to you.
Yes.
And to know one day, Lord, that you will come back for your people.
Yes.
And may we be a people that live every day to look for that glorious hope and blessed appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He's coming back one day.
Thank you.
And may we be ready.
Yes.
But if he tarries just a little bit longer, will Lord help us to stay encouraged and to live our lives that pleases him. For it's in the sweet, precious, and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, your servant prays, and all the God's people said,
amen.